Yeah, it was terrible. She did everything wrong. And she's going through this booklet, supposedly sharing the gospel, and she gets halfway through, and she happens to look down, and tears are going down the cheeks of this little prostitute. And she stops, and Linda says, "Oh, I'm sorry. Have I offended you?" Now listen to this. This little girl did not. It's amazing what she said. She says, "No, Miss Linda, you haven't offended me. I just never knew anybody cared." Isn't that something? Everything wrong, condemning and judgmental and harsh and rude and yet to this girl, why would this woman even talk to me? You know, my parents sold me into prostitution. Nobody cares for me. The only time anybody gives me the time of day is when they lusting over my body. They want something from me. I'm a nobody. Why would this woman even talk to me? I'm totally insignificant to anybody. I'm a nobody. No, you haven't offended me. I just never knew anybody cared. Linda stopped. She said, "Would you mind if I started over?" And with love and concern and caring, compassion, she shared the gospel of Christ. When she finished, the Lord says, "Yes, I would like to trust Christ tonight." And she prayed with her, and she indicated that she had trusted Christ. And when they finished praying, she said, "Miss Linda, would it be okay if I go get a friend? I want you to tell her what you told me." And so she takes off, and she comes back with another prostitute. She said, "Now, Miss Linda, you tell her what you told me. And by the way, I'll help you because you didn't do a very good job." But nobody's. Not only the neglected, but the nobody's. Let me finish with my third point. Neglected, the nobodies, and now the needy. Our text says, "And they all ate and were satisfied." That's even the children. Notice that? Even the children. The helpless and needy are especially children. Over half of the population of the world. There are 160 million street children in the world. 104 million orphans. 13 million age orphans in Africa. Some say there's going to be 40 million by the year 2010. James 1:27 says, "Pure religion in the sight of God is to visit, to help, to look after, care for orphans in their distress." In light of the clear teaching of God's Word, as I mentioned yesterday, each church should have as one of its major mission ministry components is the care of taking the gospel to children. John Piper, in his excellent book, A Godward Life, he writes, "What effect does it have on you when you think that God says true religion is simply caring for orphans? The effect on me," Piper writes, "is to make me want to love like Jesus loved and not always be thinking of earthly payoff. Face it, a few kids are cute, but most street kids will be thankless and rude and dirty and diseased and scar-faced and shifty-eyed and lice-infected and suspicious and smelly and have rotten teeth. If we minister mainly for earthly payoff, we will burn out in a year. Jesus did not say true religion is converting orphans, but that's important. He did not say true religion is making orphans mature and successful adults. He simply said true religion is caring for orphans. Results are God's business alone. Obedience is ours by faith. True religion is caring for orphans." Remember 9/11? Remember 9/11? Let me tell you what happened on 9/11. 35,600 children died on 9/11 from starvation, malnutrition, and disease on 9/11. That's not to minimize what happened in Philadelphia and the Pentagon and in New York City. That was terrible. 4,000 people. But did you also read in the paper that 35,000 children died that day? More children die every 2 days. 71,200 in the poor countries of the world than all the American soldiers who died in the Vietnam War. There are 400,000 child prostitutes in the country of India. 18 million street children. 100,000 street children in Manila. 1,500,000 throughout the country. 10 million children forced into prostitution every single year. If you counted one street child in the world every second, it would take you over 5 years just to count the children. There are 13 million age orphans in Africa. Overwhelming needs. What can you and I possibly do with five loaves and two fish? I know this is overwhelming. I know it's just statistics. But remember, statistics are people. And when you do like so often, you know, Charles Spurgeon was faced with a city of London that was so steeped in poverty and disease and prostitution and the gin craze. And people say, why are you trying to reach, you know, why are you trying to reach? There's no way we can reach all this country, this city with the gospel of Christ. He simply said, don't let the immensity of the task deter you, but let it drive you to do something about it for the glory of God. Let me repeat that. Don't let the immensity of the task deter you, but let it drive you to do something about it for the glory of God. George Whitefield, one of my heroes, the preacher of the Great Awakening in the 1800s, saw many orphans on the streets of Savannah, Georgia. He said, now here was this man in the midst of a revival that swept this country. And he was in the midst of preaching two times a day, as we talked about yesterday. He was steeped in the Word and he's preaching and he's concerned. But as he walked down the streets of Savannah, Georgia, he got tired of stepping over the bodies of sleeping orphans. And he realized that as he read James 1:27, he, as God's servant, needed to do something about that. So he said, as I was praying about what to do, as I was praying to my sovereign Lord as to what I should do about these children, I employed a Christian family, I rented a large house, and I filled it with orphans. Notice, as he prayed about what to do, he did something. As you pray about what to do about this man lying sick and beaten on the side of the road, do something about it. Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Although none of you would purposely hinder a child from coming to Christ, conversely, what are you doing to make it easy for kids to come to the Savior? What are you doing to make it easy? Why don't you just lift up your eyes and look on the needs of the world and say, God, what can I do to make it easy for a child to come to Christ today? Should I sponsor a child? Should I go and work with African Bible College and their outreach among some of the villages of Malawi? And work with some of these AIDS patients and work with these children whose parents have died because of AIDS and ministered to them. I don't know what to do. And the task is so immense. But Lord, I'm going to do something about it for your glory and trust you to do something to make it easy for these kids to come to Christ. And you go out to one of these many hundreds of villages in Malawi and filled with maybe 300 women and 300 orphans and 30 older women, because the older men had died, the younger men had died, the younger women had died. All of these had died. The only ones left were the older ladies and all these orphans. And Lord, I may not know much, but Lord, if I want to plant a church, if I want to minister the gospel to so many people, possibly you could put me down here to do something for the glory of God. Walking down a path with three chiefs in Malawi, and I get to the village and came to this little hut, and there was a little girl outside. She's 12 years of age. She had three brothers and sisters and her three cousins. Six kids she was responsible for as 12. I called my wife and I said, Margaret, we don't know very much about raising children. We've only raised two. We've worked with kids all of our life, and what do we really know? I said, but I know more about raising kids than that little 12-year-old girl does. And so do you. So do you. And these chiefs throughout Malawi and Zambia and Uganda pleaded with us for missionaries to work in the villages. You think God would have you in a place like that? Let me close. 2 years ago, I was visiting our team in the Philippines, and I went to a long ago called Sin City. So the U.S. Navy used to have its base and thousands of prostitutes, and so all these little orphans all over the place. And I was asked to speak at an orphanage. It was their anniversary, and we knew of them, and they're having a big celebration. And so my friend Ron Hominuk, he's an ex-professional hockey player from Canada, serving with us in the Philippines, working with these street kids. And we're on the way to this banquet, this celebration at this orphanage, 10th year anniversary. And everybody's so excited. And we're driving down the streets of Olongapo, and I remember having this nice bar on Tagalog on, because I was speaking at this official celebration. And we're on the way, and all of a sudden we pass the prison for children off to the right. And Ron, who had just had a camp for 100 of these kids out of prison, and so many of them had come to the Savior, he said, Doug, would it be okay if we stopped here just for a few minutes? And I know we're in a hurry, but could we just go in? I want to introduce you to the warden and some of the guards there because they gave us permission to take these kids. And since you're our director, it'd be a protocol, good public relations, if I could take you, our director, to introduce you to them. Well, I don't like things like that, but for Ron's sake, I said, okay. So we got out of the vehicle, and as we're walking towards the main gate of the prison, all these children behind the bars saw us coming. They didn't know me, but they knew Ron. They love Ron. So as the gate, they're so excited. As the gate swung open, Ron walked through, and all of the kids were climbing all over him. Well, I walked through, and they didn't know me, but I must be okay if I'm with him. So they climbed all over me. I don't know about you. I don't like kids all over me. Do you like kids all over you? And I had a clean shirt, and kids climbing on my back, and one kid got on this leg, and one kid on this leg, and I'm walking around trying to be dignified, shaking hands with the warden and all the guards, going from room to room, and these kids all over, and it was so noisy, and so forth, and so we just walk. It was only there a few minutes. Walked in the run room, and I'm shaking hands with one of the officials, and I look to my right, and there's a little boy there. He was kind of out of place for all the other kids because all the other kids had uniforms on. This kid had no clothes on, just dirty, filthy shorts. And excuse me for saying this, I have never seen such a filthy, and I don't like to use this word, but just to draw a picture, ugly, ugliest child I've ever seen. Most of his teeth were out, rotten. He had sores all over his body. You could see the stuff climbing in his hair and going through his hair. He was just so filthy. But instinctively, you know, as we were standing there, he was standing there looking at us. You know, he was scared his first day of his time in jail. And he didn't know anybody, but there he was, all the excitement going on. And he's looking at me. And I just reached over and touched him on the shoulder. Just kind of touched him on the shoulder. And he jerked away. Jerked away because usually when an adult touches a child like him, they're raping him or abusing him or cutting him or spitting on him or torturing him or something. And so he jerked away. We walked into another room, and I'm shaking hands with another official. I look down. There he is again. I put my hand down on his shoulder, and this time he didn't move, but he was stiff. Just stiff. Walked to another room and shook hands with someone. There he was again. Put my hand down on his shoulder, and this time he was soft. And as I walked to the next room, I noticed this little boy kind of came over to my side. Him came over next to me. I put my arm around his shoulder, and he put that filthy arm around my clean shirt. And just kind of hugged me, and I hugged him, and he hugged me. And we were only there for maybe 10 minutes, walking from room to room, and I'm hugging him, he's hugging me. And we came time to leave. We came to the gate. Ron walked out. I came to the gate, and I threw all these kids off. I kicked this kid off, and I hugged this little boy for the last time. Just hugged him and walked out the gate. The gate closed, and I turned around and waved goodbye to all the kids hanging on the gate. Everybody's so excited. I noticed a little boy standing back about 8 feet from the main gate, and he's waving at me. He's waving at this man who touched him with a clean touch. There's nothing holy about this touch. It was just a clean touch of a father, of a grandfather, of a Christian. I hugged him, and he hugged me, and he had never felt a touch like that before. And God brought me into his life, and now I was leaving, and he's waving, and you could see that longing of his face. It's just as I left. I walked over to the gate, and I shouldn't have done this, but I did. I put my hand through these bars, and he sees his hand coming towards him, and he runs up and he grabs my hand. He pulls it to his little emaciated chest, and he just hugs it with all of his might. Did not want to let me go. What seemed like such a long time, I finally pried my hand loose and walked down to the car and got in, shut the door, and I broke. I began to weep before God. I simply said, God, I'm so ashamed. I don't even know that boy's name. I said, God, but you know his name. Would you save him for Christ's sake? Would you bring more men like Ron Homenuk into that prison and tell that little boy and those other kids about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loves the children, who said, do not forbid them. But allow them to come to me. God, would you do that? Father, I don't even know his name, but you know his name. And though I never did find out that little boy's name, you know, you could find it out. Those other boys in that prison and those kids roaming the streets of Lilongwe, Malawi, or Lusaka, Zambia, or, you know, or Uganda, or Manila, or Sao Paulo, you know. Though you may not know all their kids' names, you could tell them the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. And I would encourage all of you to lift up your eyes, look on the fields of the world that need your 5 loaves and 2 fish of the gospel. The neglected, the nobodies, that you go to them with the good news of Christ, especially the needy children. Let's pray. God, would you help us? Please help us. And Father, the church in the backwoods of Mississippi, or a major church in Chicago or Jackson, or whether we work as teenagers in Seattle, or you have us back in Korea, you take us to Malawi, wherever it might be, Lord, would you use all of us to challenge our people to minister the glorious gospel to the needy, the nobodies, and especially the neglected. Oh God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.